John chapter 5, I want to read in verse 18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because not only had he broken the Sabbath, as far as they was concerned, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Some say, well, Jesus never did claim to be God. Well, he did. And those who heard him recognized what he was saying. And had he not been God, he would have been a liar. But I'm glad that he was and is God. Now jump on ahead to verse 40. We'll read verse 39 also. The verse in verse 18 that I just read started him on a message. It continues for several verses. And part of that message, it says in verse 39, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Ye will not come to me that ye may have life. In these verses, we find the attitude of so many today. I read the verses before to help us to realize the condition and the situation that this message was preached in, or these words were spoken in. And that is that he was speaking to people who wanted to kill him. They were not pleased with what he was saying or what he was doing. And he summarizes the whole situation by saying, ye will not come to me that ye may have life. That's what I want to try and preach on. Ye will not come to me. I want to mention first the Savior's rebuke. There is no doubt about it. That's one of the strongest rebukes that he could give. To say that ye will not come to me, that's bad. But ye will not come to me that ye would have life. He's saying, I would give you life. I would change your eternity. I would make a vast and complete difference in your day-to-day living. But you won't come to me. Now, for the Savior to rebuke someone, that's a major thing. If your boss rebukes you, that's important. If the doctor rebukes you and says you're not doing what you ought to do, that's important. If your wife or your husband rebukes you, that's important. But when the Savior rebukes you, that's serious. When the Lord says, I have an issue with you, you will not listen to me. You will not give heed to what I'm saying. I am not trying to hurt you. When I tell you the truth, it's because I love you. And I am offering to you exactly what you need, but you will not come to me. And verse 37 says, the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. He said, the Lord, the Father, hath sent me. I and he are in agreement, for we are one. And you won't pay attention to him either. So he is rebuking them for not listening, for not coming. And I want to say, I don't know of anything worse than the Father sending the Son, and the Son coming to die for mankind, and man saying, no, thank you, I'm not interested. That's a terrible rebuke. We find the same type of thought in John 1:11, where he says, he came into his own, and his own received him not. Now he here is rebuking lost people and saying, you will not come to me that you may have life. But I want to take that and twist it a little bit, and I don't think I'll do injustice to the Bible. and say that we are real quick, and we ought to be real quick to ridicule, condemn, accuse the lost people from not coming to the Lord. We say to them, come on, get saved. I make that appeal when I give an invitation. Please come, please come. And when they don't, I think, how ridiculous is that? For the Lord to say, will you come to me? I want to give you life. And they say, no. But I want to say to us who are saved, we do the same type of thing. We do the same type of thing, not as far as salvation. We got that if we're saved. But as far as help, as far as an answer to a prayer, a solution to a problem, an answer to a question, a direction we need to go to. He, I believe, says to us who are saved, you will not come to me that I might give you help. I want to help you. I believe he's probably rebuking us tonight and saying, will you please come to me? Will you please come to me? I want to help you. I can help you. I will help you. But you have to come. Kind of reminds me of what James says. We have not because we ask not. We would have if we would ask, but we don't have because we don't ask. Oh, may our eyes be open tonight. And may our hearts be changed. You see, therein lies the difference. A lost person saying, no, I'm not coming to him. I don't need him. I don't want him. I'm not interested in him. That's one thing. But they're blinded. They don't know. They are in darkness. But we who are saved have had our eyes open. We see the truth. We know the truth. We know the answers in him. And yet still, so many times we don't come to him to get the help he offers. We have experienced his grace in the past. He has answered prayer. He has done miracles. He has moved in a real and unusual way. And still we try to struggle on in our own ability, try to handle our problems ourselves instead of doing what he tells us to do. I believe he rebukes us tonight and says, you won't come to me that I could help you. The Savior's rebuke, but I want to mention number two, the simple reasons. I mean by that, why is it as Jesus said? His point is, my point is, you will not come to me that I might give you whatever you need. And I want to know why in the world are we like that? Why in the world would we not come to him for the help we certainly need? I believe one of the simple reasons is because of deception. Back in verse 39 says, search the scripture, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. They were deceived into thinking that they'd looked at the Old Testament, they knew what it said, and it says this rule, that rule, this commandment, that commandment, do this, don't do that, and they thought if you do that, then you got eternal life, but they were wrong. They were deceived into thinking when Jesus came, they were so deceived, they thought, we don't need him. We're living by the Old Testament. We're keeping the law. Why do we need this Jesus man? They said no, they would not come to him because of deception. They did not realize they needed help. And just to be kind as best I can, that's dumb. But there are some of us who are saved. Somehow we don't realize we need help. Somehow we are deceived to thinking that we're okay, that we don't need help from the Lord. But I tell you one thing, we are deceived and we think that. I'm talking tonight about you will not come to me. You won't come to me that I might help you. I want to help you. I can help you. The offer is available, but you will not come. The Savior's rebuke, but the simple reasons. The simple reason is, number one, because of deception, but also because of dependence. Verse 43, notice what he says. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. Ye receive me not. In other words, you are depending on yourself instead of depending on me. That's one reason why your deception is so obvious. You don't realize you need help. And if you don't realize that you need help, you sure don't realize you need me. You are depending, listen, on yourself to handle the situation. In that particular situation, they were depending on themselves to make it to heaven, to please the Father, to get them to the place where they honored the Lord. In my struggle tonight, in my effort tonight, I'm saying we depend on ourselves instead of depending on the Lord for our daily need. Whatever the question is, whatever the need is, whatever the prayer is, we're depending on ourselves. We have a problem, and we immediately start conjuring in our mind, how can I work this out? What do I need to take care of this? What can I do? What do I need to say? What do I need to think? What do I need to... We make our plan, and we work our plan instead of going to Him. We ought to go to Him first. He said, you won't come to me. You won't come to me and ask me for help. And that's because of dependence. We're depending on ourselves to handle our problems. John 5:44, how can ye believe which receive honor one to another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? He says you're looking for help from each other and from yourself instead of from the Lord. And that's what I'm saying tonight. The simple reason is because of deception. They didn't think they needed help. Because of dependence, they thought they can handle it themselves. So do we. And then also because of discouragement. I'm talking about why don't we run to God when there's a need, when there's a burden, when there's a problem, when there's a request, when there's a question, when there's an obstacle. Why don't we run to Him and beg Him for help and get the help He offers, the help that's available? Because of discouragement, I thought about this. Sometimes we fail so many times, we fall so much that we are so discouraged that we think, why should I go to Him again? I have done it again. I have overreacted again. I have said the wrong thing again. I'm giving into temptation again. I made the same blunder, the same mistake, the same thing. I fell in the same trap again. Why in the world? He's not going to want me to come to Him again, but I got news for you. He does. Because of discouragement, we can fail so much that we wonder, why in the world should I even try? Why in the world? I have tried and I have failed and I have tried and I have failed, and it ain't getting better. It's getting worse. I tell you one thing, sometimes God will make sure it does get worse to show us how much we need Him. Our discouragement sometimes, I'm talking about, why don't we go to Him? Why don't we go to Him first before anybody else or anything else? Because of discouragement. Then also I thought about this, not only because of deception and dependence and discouragement, but because of doubt. Verse 46 and verse 47. For ye had believed Moses, ye would have believed me. For he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? He says, you talk about that Old Testament, that scripture, and it's wonderful and it's right, but you don't even know what it says. You say you believe Moses and everything he says, you don't even know what he says, because what those words said is talking about me. What I'm saying and what it says is the same thing, and you won't believe it and you won't believe me. And listen, doubt, questioning. John 8:45, Jesus says, because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Oh, why don't we run to Him and say, Lord, I need you. I got a problem, got a question. I need an answer. I need this. What do you want? I mean, why don't we run to Him first and trust Him and listen to Him and obey what He says? Because of doubt, we wonder. Really, you know what doubt is? It's wondering if we can trust Him. It is wondering, can I trust the God who never lies? us. Listen to that. How horrible, how insulting to God for me by my actions of not going to Him, of not running to Him first. I am saying, I can't trust you. I can't believe what you said in the Bible. I can't depend on you. I have got to work it out myself. I have got to do something myself. I'm going to use my plans, my power, my ability, my know-how. Oh, because of doubt. No, I want to ask you a question. When did God ever fail you? Oh, I know. We can say, well, this didn't happen. I prayed and it didn't answer. Well, yeah, he did. You may have prayed and I may have prayed the way we wanted it, but he answered the way it should be. He didn't fail us. We just don't understand his will and way. He never has failed us. He always does things right. In other words, he has never done wrong at all. You cannot point to one reason why we can justifiably doubt God. There's not one thing you can point to in your past or in this Bible or anywhere else in the world where we can point to and say, that's why I doubt him. Because there ain't no such thing. In fact, he says, which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He said, which one of you can you tell me that I've done wrong? Show me where I've failed and we'll talk about it. But you're not believing me, and I'm telling you the truth. I'm talking about, why don't we go to him to get the help we need? You will not come to me. And there's reasons, because of deception, because of dependence, because of discouragement, because of doubt. Oh, we ought to believe him. In John 12:37, it says, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Now, I'm telling you, that is not smart. But I had to point that to me. He has done so many wonderful things for me. Not that I'm just aware of, but for me in my life. Since I've been saved, even before I got saved, I'll tell you one thing. It was a miracle I wasn't already dead and in hell before he started convicting me. I mean, it was a miracle. So he started working, helping me a long time before I ever realized it. But it says of him, he worked so many miracles and they still didn't believe him. And I think we can point that to us. We can look back and see times he had done things for us that could not be done. Opened closed doors, parted Red Seas, did miracles, did the impossible, and now we still, another problem comes up and we try and handle it ourselves. We do not go to him. I'm telling you, it's because of doubt. The simple reasons, because of deception and dependence and discouragement and doubt. I believe also because of disobedience. John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. One of the reasons why we don't run to him, because if we know we run to him, we're going to have to make some changes to our life. Because we know there's some things he's not pleased with. There's some disobedience in our life that we are not quite ready to get straight, get right. So we are so busy trying to handle things ourselves on our own and making more mess of it than we ever could imagine. And the reason we don't have the help we need and the reason the answer doesn't come is because we won't run to him, because we know if we run to him, I got to get right about some things and I'm not ready to get right yet because of disobedience. I'm going to have to make some changes, and I love that stuff that I'm in, that I'm doing the way that I am, too much to give it up. Well, I have tried to mention the sage's rebuke. He said, you will not come to me that you might have life. He's rebuking them. And I believe he rebukes us. But then also the simple reasons, why would they not come? Why do we not come? And then number three and lastly, the sad results. You will not come to me that ye may have life, might have life. They could have life had they come, but they did not come. What's the result? The sad result is they didn't get life. And the sad result in our aspect of the message is we don't get the help we need. We don't get the answer that could come. We don't get the help that he offers because we do not go to him. We do not get what we could have gotten. We go without. We lack, therefore, what we could have. Because we're busy trying to handle it ourselves instead of going to him and saying, Lord, you got to do something. Lord, I'm bringing this to you. Lord, this is up to you. We have some sad results. We lack some things. They lacked the life that they could have because it didn't come to them. And we lack some things because we don't go to him. Number one, we lack forgiveness. I'll say it to them. The only way they could have life is by going to him. And when they did not go to him, they lacked the life that he offered. They lacked forgiveness. They lacked salvation. They did not get what he was offering. And the same way with us who are saved. If we don't go to him in times of sin, we have that broken fellowship. There's something between us and our Savior, and if we don't run to him and confess and get it right and turn our backs on it, we lack that fellowship. There's a broken fellowship. We lack forgiveness. And whether we realize it or not or admit it or not, that's very serious. We should never delay confession. He says, why don't you come to me? That I might give you what you need. Sometimes we need forgiveness. And the only way we can get that forgiveness is by going to him and admitting, I have failed you. I have sinned. What I did was wrong. What I said was wrong. What I thought was wrong. My motives are wrong. We lack forgiveness because we do not go to him. We not only lack forgiveness, I'm talking about the sad results. Sad results. Here's some people who could have gotten saved, but they didn't. And perhaps they went to hell because of it. I know this, if they didn't turn to the Lord, they did go to hell. And they're still there now. And the sad results of us Christians not going to him is we lack things. We do not get what he would have given us. We lack forgiveness. We lack fellowship. Going to him is fellowshipping with him. And I'm not talking about just a time of prayer. I'm talking about a daily walk. All day long in communion with him, even though you're working, even though you're driving, even though you're busy, even though your mind's somewhere else, keeping that attitude of knowing he's there, being aware of his presence, being in fellowship with him, and surely spending direct time and dedicated time with him on our knees in prayer. We lack fellowship. Now, I'll tell you one thing. That may not be important to us, but it's important to him. And it ought to be important to us, fellowship with our Lord. Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. Exodus 33:14, God said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. He likens his presence with rest. Leviticus 26:10, I will walk among you and be your God, and ye shall be my people. He says, there's fellowship. There's a communion between me and you that's important, that's vital. It's so important because it affects so much of our lives. It's more than a time of prayer, like I said. It's a time of spending our attitude toward him throughout our day. It affects every aspect of our life because our mind is consciously all the time aware of his presence, prone to speak to him, prone to turn toward him no matter what we're going through. I'm talking about fellowship with the Lord, walking with him like Noah and Enoch did. Presence, his presence with us like the people of Israel. It affects every aspect of our life. The more time we spend with somebody, the more we'll love them. Now, in some cases, the more you dislike them. But if it's a good fellowship with a good person, the more you get to know them, the more you love them, the more you want to please them, the more you want to share with them, the more you want to tell others about them. Remember when you first met that Prince Charming you're married to? And you thought he was a dreamboat? You're telling everybody about this dreamboat? Or me, remember when you met that princess that you thought was so beautiful and so sweet? I don't know if speaking in the past tense is very good or not about this, but when you first met them, everything was so wonderful, and you just could not be quiet about them. I have met him. I have met her, boy, and you told everybody about them. Because you had a fellowship with them. There was a connection with them. That's what needs to happen to our Lord. And the closer we get to him, the more we want to tell others. I'm talking about you won't come to me. And part of coming to him is fellowship with him. And when we fellowship with him, we get so much. It changes our entire life. How long has it been since you stood up and testified and said, Lord's been so good to me? Boy, I'll tell you, this happened yesterday, and he was right there helping me. How long has it been since you told somebody about the Lord? How long has it been since you told somebody how good God had been to you? The closer we get to him, the more we fellowship with him, the more we want to share, the more we'll trust. If you know somebody that's trustworthy, the more you get to know them, the more you trust them. Because you keep getting in on more and more and more about how they're trustworthy. They don't lie. They tell the truth. They're dependable. And the more we fellowship with the Lord, the more we'll trust him. I'm talking about fellowship makes a difference. He said, will you come to me? I'm trying to help you. Will you come to me? Sad results. We lack forgiveness. We lack fellowship. We lack faith. All through these verses, you don't believe, you don't believe, you don't believe, you don't believe, you see it, you don't believe, you hear me, you don't believe it. Well, I'll tell you one thing, when we don't run to him, keep our minds open to him, fellowship with him, oh, we're gonna lack faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. So many times we walk by what we can see. By the circumstances. And if the circumstances are bad, we go down. If the circumstances are desperate, we go down. We get so discouraged. We get so down. We get so defeated. And we forget about him. Run to him. Run to him. Run to him. Come to him that he might give you the help you need. We lack faith because we aren't coming to him. John 20:29, blessed are they which have seen not yet have believed. Thomas said, if I see the prince and I put my hand in his side, then I believe. And Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen yet believe. I want to tell you what, we've seen enough, but whether we see anything else or not, we need to believe. Bible says, being fully persuaded that what he has promised, he is able also to perform. Hebrews 11:8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for his inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. He believed God was trustworthy, and by faith he walked with him step by step, not even knowing where he was going, because he didn't have to know where he was going. He knew who was leading him, and that's where the faith was. We lack faith because we don't go to him. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I can't count the times where something happened. I got a phone call or I found out about something. And boy, I'll tell you what, right to the pit. And I found a place to get along with the Lord and just told him what he already knew. And oh, I'll tell you what, in a few minutes, sometimes several minutes, sometimes a long time, but all of a sudden, faith started stirring. And I saw him. And all of a sudden, he was bigger than the problem. And I saw him working, and I knew he was all right. And I saw him as God, and I saw him as a loving father, and I saw him as a friend, and I saw him as a shepherd. What happened? I ran to him, and he helped me. And therefore, in closing, by the way, this will scare you, but I ain't got to the message yet. I had to preach that next time. My introductions are getting longer. we will fear if we don't go to him. People of Israel murmured at Moses and said, what shall we drink? They go to Moses, which was not bad. I mean, he was the leader. But what about God? Now, a good thing about Moses, he did go to God, and God told him, listen to me. Moses went to God, and God told him what to do, and they got water. We will fear if we don't go to him for help. Stay in a constant state of fear, or something will happen to cause us to fear. We need to go to him. We will fear. We will forget. And God warned the people of Israel. Let me read it. I don't know what time it is anyway. He reminded the people of Israel in Exodus 32. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And they made a golden idol and started worshiping a false god. And I want to say, what in the world is wrong with you? I'll tell you what was wrong with them. The situation caused them to fear, number one, and forget, number two. They even mentioned the fact that God brought them out. Hey, did you hear what you said? God brought you out of Egypt. God set you free from Pharaoh. By the way, Pharaoh wasn't a fan of that. Pharaoh didn't want that to happen, but God worked it out where it did happen. And God brought them across the Red Sea on dry ground and killed Pharaoh and all his soldiers. And they're here just because God has called Moses up to the mountain for a little while. They're already fearful and forgetting what God has done. And that's what's going to happen when we don't go to him. We will fear, we will forget, and then lastly, we will fail. We will fail God because our plan isn't going to work. Our way will not work out. It's not supposed to. God will make sure it doesn't because we're to trust him. The enemies of our faith, doubt, and problems, and trouble. The world and the flesh and the devil, enemies of our faith. And it's a real battle. And we, the Lord ordained us, sing that song. We're on the battlefield. We're fighting for good and the right. Well, maybe next time I'll preach the message. You will not come to me. You will not come to me. I believe he's saying the same thing to his people today. Why don't you come to me? And I mean really come to me. Not just come and complain. Do that. Tell him. But come trusting and receiving, and that's where I'm going to try and go when I get to the message. Lord willing, next time, but the rapture hadn't happened. Let's stand together.